Thursday, 29th of April, the Festival of the Year, Rabbi David Stern, Mitzvahs, Kiddush Hashem.
Good morning. I think a number of speakers have addressed the topic this week, but this is more of a halachic or pilpul discussion. We're given the mitzvah of this week of Alois Chalu Hashem Kodshi, and the Gedashti B'Seich B'nei Yisrael, mitzvah to be Mekadesh Shem Hashem. Just very basically runs with the main parameters which everyone is already familiar with. The halacha is that there are three cardinal sins of Zorah, Gila, Rois, and Shlichus Domim, which a Yid is not allowed to transgress, even at cost to his own life, irrespective of whether it's in public or in private, B'Shas Hashmat, Shalei B'Shas Hashmat, whether the Goy asks you to transgress this for his own pleasure, or L'Havira L'Adat. In any event, one may not transgress these three cardinal sins at all. And then there's the rest of the Torah, including Shabbos and Kashrus and any other Aveira in the Torah, where it depends. If it's B'Shas Hashmad, that there's a time when they're trying to eradicate practice of religious Judaism, then even Al-Arkse de Masanoi, even on Minhogim, one has to be Moise Nefesh, even if it's B'Tzina, and even if he's doing it for his own pleasure. But if it's Shalei B'Shas Hashmad, then generally speaking, the halacha is that no, Yavor Ba'al Yehorek, one can transgress any Averish of the Torah, unless it's B'Farhesia in front of 10 Yidden, and the Goy is intending to do it L'Havira L'Adas, not for his own pleasure. For his own pleasure, it wouldn't be a Kiddush Hashem, but L'Havira L'Adas, and there's a public forum of at least 10 Yidden, then there is a mitzvah of an Ekdash Shalei B'Yisrael, one has to be Moise Nefesh, even for Shara Averish of the Torah. That's the basic parameters of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Today I'd like to focus our discussion actually in the primarily not on those Averis which one does have to be Moise Nefesh for, but for Kol HaTeir Kula, those Averis which one needn't be Moise Nefesh for, Yavar Ba'al Yehorig. And I think for all who are learning Daf Yomi, it's Mamash Yom HaDiyem, apart from being the Parsha, because we've just learned this 1 or 2 days ago. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet says, if you transgress, you will not be killed. Then he may or should transgress rather than be killed. Now, what's the source for this? So Rashi says over there, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that it says in the Torah, in last week's parasha, "V'chai bohem," and we darshan "V'chai bohem." The mitzvahs of the Torah were given to live through them, not to die through them, and therefore if you're faced with a choice, the guy says, if you don't eat this piece of chazir, I'll shoot you. You may eat the piece of chazir because the Torah, the mitzvah was not intended that you should die through it, rather chai ben v'loish yotim. That's a memory of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel actually personally applies it to Avodah Zarah as well, for those who've learned Nafiyami. You'll see, we don't pass like that, of course, we pass for Avodah Zarah. That's not the case. You do have to give up your life, but nevertheless, we do retain his limud of chai ben v'gav kol Shar Averis Shabbatura. Now, the Mechitz Chinuch, I'm basing my share largely on the Mechitz Chinuch, says that why do I need a posuk to allow you to be over? The implication is that if you wouldn't have any psukim in the Torah, what would be the svara? The implication of the Joshua of the Gemara is that the svara is we've got 613 mitzvahs, we cannot transgress them at any cost. The Torah says, you know, don't be mechallel Shabbos. You may not be mechallel. I will die. That's not my problem. You have to listen to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That would be the svara. Comes along the Torah and says, no, b'chai bohem, b'loishi amos bohem. My intention was that you should live with them. No, I mean, you may transgress and keep alive, stay alive, rather than forfeit your life. So, if that were true, this analysis, then a goy, a ben noyach, who of course has 7 of his own mitzvahs, would he have to give up his life rather than transgress his mitzvahs? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, because if the svara is that when the Rosh Hashanah gives a commandment, you must at all costs carry out this commandment, but we, Klal Yisrael, have a posuk on the chai bohem, that of course addresses only Klal Yisrael, it doesn't address the goyim. The goyim have their 7 mitzvahs, they haven't got a chai bohem referring to them, so therefore they would have to give up their lives rather than eat Eivim and Achai, rather than do any of the mitzvahs which the Goy is prohibited from doing. However, the Mechsinuch says, the Gemara in Ayin Dabad on Beis actually has a shaila, is a benayach mitzvah on Kedusha Hashem or not? Does he have to give up his life for his 7 mitzvahs or not? It's not clear if the Gemara was poshut the Iboy, but Tosfos and Ayin Hey says that yes, the Gemara was poshut the Iboy, that a goy does not have to give up his life. So the question is, why should the goy not have to give up his life? It's only because of a chagim that we don't have to. The goy doesn't have to have a chagim, so why should he not have to give up his life? So Tosfos over there, Ayin, down on the base at the bottom, raises the question. And Tosfos, in fact, says that it seems that the opposite is true. In fact, the svara would be that carry out the mitzvahs to the best of your ability. But of course, if you're going to lose your life over them, you don't have to. I'm not exactly sure why, but that would be the svara. It's a question of you losing your life, you don't have to be moist and nefesh for the sake of any mitzvah. And that's why misvara a goy doesn't have to be moist and nefesh for the sake of his 7 mitzvahs. But, says Tosus, a yid has to be moist and nefesh for gila royas, for shvichas domim, ritzeach, and there would have been a binyan av that I might have thought, so if already by Ritzeach and Nara Merosa the Torah says that you do have to give up your life, perhaps huadim l'chala Torah kula. It's to be moitzi from the binyan av which you might have learned from the Torah and Merosa that we need a b'chai b'hem, so that it's specifically Eden, who there would have been, there are instances where they commanded we do have to give up our lives, and I might have thought that applies l'chala Torah kula with the binyan av. For that, I need a b'chaibahim to say, no, that only applies to Ritzeach, Na'am, Rasa, and to Abu Yitzhar. It does not apply to other mitzvahs and other mitzvahs. We have a b'chaibahim permitting us not to forfeit our lives for the sake of a mitzvah. But a goy, there was no Ritzeach, Na'am, Rasa in the first instance. So he remains with a svar chitzeno, which we've now changed, is in fact that one does not have to give up one's life for the sake of an ordinary mitzvah. So far what we've concluded is that both Yidden and Goyim, for ordinary mitzvahs, do not have to give up their lives, but for different reasons. The Goy, as it were, with a svara that there's no need to give up one's life. With the Yid, the specific drosha of the Chai Bohem Belo Shiotem is pattering him from doing so. And then we'll see that there'll be enough gemino what the reason is. Okay. Now, the Mechtenuch brings an interesting question upon which he bases a yisoid, which we're going to expound upon. We mentioned that the Tana who brought the drosha of the Chai Bohem Belo Shiotem is Rabbi Shmuel. Okay. There is a different Gemara, also a famous Gemara, in Yuma Daf Pehei, where the Gemara over there says, Minayin lepikuach nefesh shedoiches haShabbos. Right, we all know, pikuach nefesh, what do you do the first thing? You call Hatzolah. Pikuach nefesh is doiches haShabbos, and any other Isra as well, you can eat treif, you can do whatever in order to save your life. Minayin, how do we know that in a situation where one's life's in danger because of ill health or any other reason, there's an earthquake or anything presents itself as pikuach nefesh, how do you know that it can be doiches haShabbos? So there's a whole bunch of Tanoim who give scriptural sources for this. First amongst them actually is Rabbi Shmuel. And he says, the Makoris God says, in the Machteres, Yimotzei Haganav, the parasha of Bava Machteres, the parasha of Shvatim, it allows the Baal HaBayis to kill the intruder, and he says, that's only a Sophic Nefoshes, and if over there he can be over the Issa of killing, certainly when it's a Vadai Pikuach Nefesh, he can be over, he draws his source from Bava Machteres. And there are other Tanoim. And then we have Shmuel, the Amora, Shmuel, who says, Yavoy Awesome, if I would have lived a few generations earlier, I would have been present at this discussion. I would have said, I've got a better source for the fact that, what, you can be Mechal HaShabbos in order to save your life. The Chai Bohem, the Lo Shios Bohem. The mitzvahs of the Torah were given to live through them, not to die through them. And the Mora concludes, Amar Rava, Lekulu Islu Pircha, Ba'am Yidah Shmuel, the Mora goes through it. In fact, all the other sources are questionable, one can frag them up. Shmuel's is the only one that stands up to scrutiny. B'chai Bohem, B'lo Shiyomus. Now the question is as follows. Rabbi Shmuel was the Tana who in Sanhedrin 9 Dalad, when the Gemara said, how do you know that at any avering of Torah you can transgress the avering rather than forfeit your life? Rabbi Shmuel said, the Makor is B'chai Bohem B'lo Shiyomus Ben. Yet in Yuma, when the Gemara said, how do you know that in a state of Pikuach Nefesh, you're allowed to be Mechal HaShabbos, Rabbi Shmuel didn't bring the source of a Chai Bohem, he brought a different source. Shmuel brought the source of a Chai Bohem. So what happened? Rabbi Shmuel forgot his earlier source of a Chai Bohem. Why is it that in Sanhedrin he would bring that source and not in Yuma? So this leads the Mishnah Sinner to a Yesoid, which we'll see is very well established and for emphasis a number of things. Again, what's the difference between the two situations? The Gemara Sanhedrin is dealing with a case we're going to refer to as a case of an anos. An anos is a gentleman with a pistol who comes to you and says, you better transgress the sin or else I take your life. And there the Gemara says, you can of course go ahead and transgress it because of Chayim Rosheta. The Gemara Yuma is addressing cases of Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh, you mentioned sickness, earthquake, any other thing where your life's in danger, you're allowed to transgress any mitzvah in order to save your life. So there's a fundamental difference between these two examples, two cases. I'll try and explain it as best as I understand it. It's quite simple, really. In the case of when an anos is forcing you to be over an avera, essentially, is your life in any danger? I mean, you're a perfectly healthy fellow. There's nothing falling on your head of it. Your life's not really in danger. Even the guy is a nice gentleman. He loves you. He's not going to harm you. He's not out to kill you, per se. He just wants one minor thing. He wants you to eat this piece of chazer. You don't eat this piece of chazer, says the guy, I'm going to kill you. So what is jeopardizing your life, says Mechas Chinuch? If I were to keep the Torah's commandment, not to eat the chazer, that will jeopardize my life. The mitzvah is directly, the kiyum mitzvah, the non-performance of the avera, right, is directly the thing that would be jeopardizing my life. In the case of the Gemara and Yuma, those cases there, we're talking about a person who's sick. He's got a serious sickness. Now, the doctor tells him, if you eat chazer, I know chazer is a sure cure, it'll cure you. If you call the emergency ambulance and you go to the hospital, they'll be able to cure you. But if he doesn't go and eat the chazer, what will have, as it were, forfeited his life? The non-eating of chazer will have forfeited that. That will have killed him? No. The illness will have killed him. The mapola that's falling on his head will have killed him. If he were to avail himself of an opportunity and transgress a mitzvah of terror, he could save himself. But what is currently directly jeopardizing his life is the situation he finds himself in, is the illness, is the matzah of pikuach nefesh. Not. So in the former case, there's nothing jeopardizing his life other than the keeping of the terror. If I keep the terror, my life's in jeopardy. That's the only thing that's endangering my life. I'm perfectly well and healthy. If I keep the Torah, the guy says, I'm going to kill you. So the keeping of the Torah is directly jeopardizing my life. In the latter case, here's the Pikuach Nefesh, it's something else which is jeopardizing my life, a situation, an illness, etc. If I didn't keep the Torah, I could avail myself of those methods to heal myself, to save myself. So the keeping of the Torah would not allow me to avail myself of that which could save me. But it's not the keeping of the Torah which is directly jeopardizing my life. I think this is quite a straightforward chiluk. And he brings a source that there's a strong basis for this chiluk, actually from Choshen Mishpo. Interesting halachim, Simashin Pei Ches. Says as follows. The guy comes up to you with a pistol, and he takes you to your friend's safe. And he says, I understand, you know the combination to your friend's safe over here. Open it up, and take out all the money, and hand it to me, or else I kill you. Right, so of course you're permitted to do so, you're not mechuyev for theft, to give up your life. You open it up, you take out the money, nosam b'yad, you hand it to the guy. And then, the gentleman whose money you've kindly taken without permission, comes to you and says, I understand you had to do so, but, you know, there was £1 million in there, please reimburse me. So the halacha is, you don't have to reimburse him. I was forced, at cost to my life, to hand over this money of yours, I don't have to reimburse. However, says in Choshen Mishpat over there, if a guy comes up to you, and he's chasing you, and he says, I'm going to kill you. Why are you going to kill me? No, I don't like your nose, I'm going to kill you. So he says, you know what? If I give you £1 million, will you kill me? So if you give me £1 million, I won't kill you. Where am I going to get £1 million from? You know what? I'll go to my friend's safe, I'll take £1 million, and I'll give him £1 million, and I'll save myself, and I do so. So my friend comes up to me and says, you took £1 million from my safe to save your life. That's very nice of you. Please reimburse it. I've got to reimburse it. What's the difference? Because in the former case, I was being directly forced by the guy to take the money. That's what he came to force me for. He said, I want you to take this money or else I kill you. So this money was directly jeopardizing my life. The non-taking of this money would directly jeopardize my life. So I had to do so. If I had to do so, I'm potter from paying the individual. In the latter case, I chose to do so to save my life, which is correct. Maybe it's the right steps to have taken. But at the end of the day, the guy wasn't asking me to give him £1 million of Vienna's money. He was threatening my life. There was pikuach nefesh over here hovering over my head. And I went in order to save myself and took Yenna's money. Maybe I'm permitted to do so, but at the end of the day, I wasn't required by the guy to do so. It wasn't the gezel, which, you know, if I wouldn't steal, I would be killed on the count of not stealing, was I would die because the god wants to kill me. Stealing saved my life, so there, I'm allowed to lose it, but I've got to pay it back. So we see this chiluk in Hilchos Rosh HaMishpat between, am I being directly forced to do the sin, or, no, there's a matzav which is enabling my life, and the doing of the sin serves the purpose of saving my life. So similarly, says the Mechsinuch, the two Gemaras in Sanhedrin and Yuma are referring to those two different cases. So mainly he says as follows. Rabbi Shmuel the Tana came along and said that if a guy says, I want you to eat the chaza or I kill you, there's nothing, your life's not in danger, you're not sick. He said, I want that. So the chaza is directly standing in the way between your life and your death. That the keeping of the mitzvah is what's jeopardizing your life. You keep this mitzvah, your life's gone as a direct result of the keeping of this mitzvah. There, says Rabbi Shmuel, the Torah says, no, the Torah should be a cause of death. The Torah will not be a cause of your death. But Rabbi Shmuel the Tana felt, that in a case where I'm faced with a pikuach nefesh situation, but I know that I could go to the hospital with a chilul Shabbos and heal myself, I could eat chazar and heal myself. Who says, Rabbi Shmuel was of the opinion that the Torah would allow you to trample its laws when it's not directly jeopardizing your life? We have chayvim. The Torah shouldn't be a cause of death. The Torah will be a cause of death. The sickness will be a cause of death. Who says that when it's not the Torah that would be the cause of death, that you're allowed to trample its laws in order to avail yourself of some sort of assistance in order to save your life? That chayvim thought Rabbi Shmuel does not extend to, does not permit. And he brought a different source to permit that. Shmuel, the Amora says, Didi Adifim Didu, I've got a better source. I believe a Chaybahim permits that too. Not only should the Torah not be a direct cause of death, live through the Torah, trample its laws, transgress whatever you wish, in order to save yourself, that's also okay, because the Chaybahim will also be. But that's why Rabbi Shmuel felt that the Chaybahim is only applicable to a case where the Aver is directly jeopardizing your life, as opposed to a case where it's a Pikuach Nefesh matter that's jeopardizing your life, and you want to avail yourself of a transgression to save your life, that the Chaybahim would not permit. The Halacha, you know, like Shmuel, that is also permitted by the Chaybahim. So now, what will be the Nafkimina? There will be a few Nafkiminas. But coming back now to a Ben Noach. Right, so we said that a Ben Noach doesn't have to give up his life not to transgress one of the seven mitzvahs. But the source for a Ben Noach was not the Chaybahim, right? The source was the Svara, the redefined Svara that we said that, you know, mitzvahs of the Torah, Be'etim, do not require a person to give up his life over them. Says the Mechas Sinuch, there's a very strong case to be made that in fact, when can a guy transgress one of the seven mitzvahs to save his life? Only in the former type of cases, i.e., where a guy is being held at gunpoint and he's being told, eat the Eber in Achai. So there, the guy can say, I should, at the cost of my life, keep the mitzvah of not eating Eber in Achai. The swore here, I don't have to. I'm going to eat the Eiv Malachai and save my life. Because the Eiv Malachai, the keeping of the Mitzvah Malachai, would directly jeopardize his life. The Svara of we mentioned, would allow him not to have the Mitzvah directly jeopardize his life. But, says the Mechassinuch, perhaps, in a case of where a guy is not being forced directly to eat the Eiv Malachai, he's never sick in bed, and he's told, if he eats that Eiv Malachai, he'll be able to save himself. Now a Yid, Rabbi Shmuel wasn't even sure that a Yid could do it based on a Chaybahim. Shmuel concluded that he can do it based on a Chaybahim. But a guy doesn't have a Chaybahim. The Svara, says Mechsinuch, maybe does not allow for a guy, or for anyone for that matter, the Svara doesn't allow for anyone to go, when the mitzvah is not the thing that's jeopardizing his life, to go and transgress the mitzvah in order to save his life, that we do not find that there's a Svara permitting one to do so. And therefore he says, perhaps indeed a guy who's sick has to allow himself to die naturally, rather than transgress the Isra'el Yom HaFayim. He says, if you look in the Rambam, it's very meduyuk. Because in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, where the Rambam discusses the Peikei, the Din of Kiddush Hashem, so the Rambam says that B'shor Sheyamud Goy, the Yenoy says, Yisra'el Lavar Al Achas, Mikol Mitzvah Samurus B'Torah Oya Argenu, Yavar Valyor. Right? The Yid should rather transgress than be killed. Yavar Valyor. And then in Halach Avot, he says, in the same way we permitted you to transgress, in the case of an anos where you're being forced directly to transgress the avera, Similarly, they said the same thing with sickness. Ketzav, mishchora v'notolomus. Omer arayfim shorfu osay b'dvar ploinim yisrun shabatayra. Oisinloi. Umisrafim makol yisrun shabatayra. Chutz navaydol rosh v'ktom. So Rambam says, the same way we permit you when an alos forces you to transgress, similarly we permit you to avail yourself of a refuah, even though it transgresses any one of the mitzvot of the three. That's by a yid. But in Hilchos Melachim, where the Rambam discusses a goy, so the Rambam says, "Benoyach she'on say anos la'avor al achas mitzvayisod mutar la'avor." That's it. The Rambam doesn't say, "Ukederach she'omru ba'anosim kach omru b'chaloi." The Proshas Drachim argues with the Michas Chinuch's view, but Agabon it is, I think, very meduyik, like the case the Michas Chinuch is building, which is that it's meduyik in the Rambam that a guy doesn't have a heter when he is sick to transgress an issa. We, and the Makor of this is Rabbi Shmuel Batana, who we see applied the chayavim from one case not to another case, so we see the two cases are not identical. We actually, according to Shmuel, have a chayavim permitting us to heal ourselves even heal ourselves with Avera, but a guy doesn't. So he's got the Svara. The Svara says, the mitzvah of the Torah cannot be a cause of death. That's when the Allah says, or else, so the keeping of the mitzvah will be the cause of death. That is a Svara that, no, I don't have to allow a mitzvah to be the cause of death. But in the case of Chaloyim, it won't be the mitzvah that will be the cause of death, it will be the sickness that's the cause of death. There, a guy doesn't have a heter to go and transgress the Torah in order to save himself. It's Maduik in the Ramadan, he doesn't say, Ki'in Sha'omru Ba'anosim, Ka'omru Ba'chaloyim, in the case of a Ben-Noy, okay? Now, another very nice nafke minna, and for emphasis also a kasha, which a lot of Bahrainim ask on the Rambam, will be for emphasis with this yisoid. Now I'm going over to those averas which you do have to give up your life for. Okay? Avod Zara, Gilarois, Shifas Dom. What happens if the fellow was too weak, his nature didn't allow him, and he did not give up his life? He was told, bow down to Avodah Zarah, I kill you, and he couldn't withstand the test. He bowed down to the Avodah Zarah. Does he now get killed, or Nisa, or Malchus, because he served Avodah Zarah? So the Rambam says, in Halacha Dalla there, kol mi shenei avay yohorek v'al yavar, v'ovar v'loy neherag, harei mechalel es Hashem, he's a mechalel Hashem, he wasn't mekadesh Hashem, because after all, he was forced to do so. Ein malkin oisay. The Rambam says he's potter from an oinish because at the end of the day, he was forced to commit this sin. He shouldn't have allowed himself to commit this sin. He should have given up his life. But at the end of the day, he was forced to commit this sin. He doesn't get the oinish of the sin that he committed. He doesn't get the oinish of the avodor or gilaros yisrael he committed. That's when he was forced by an anos to commit one of these three sins. But in the other Rambam which I mentioned, who said, Ke'inyin she'omru ba'anosim, kach omru b'chaloyim, the Rambam says that you'll have to be merapi yourself with anything in the Torah, any avera, apart from, of course, avay zorah gilorosh v'tzomim. So the Rambam says, chutz avay zorah gilorosh v'tzomim, shafil v'okim sakon eim yisrabim, you can't ingest some sort of avay zorah, takrubus or something, whatever it might be, to heal yourself. V'im orav en yisrape, and if you did so, you transgressed and you healed yourself, you'll save yourself from the sickness, but you'll be put together without having served the Avodah Zarah, which you weren't allowed to do. So all Achrim ask, I don't understand. When you're forced by the goy to serve, you're not allowed to serve, and you did, you're potter. And here I was forced on account of sickness to go and I had to save my life, everything available was Avodah Zarah. Yeah, I wasn't supposed to, but I couldn't tell myself I did. And I get punished for telling my wife, I was forced on account of circumstance. So the Mechilach, according to this Yisoid, it is very good. We can explain it very well. Because there is a difference, there's a fundamental difference between the two. In the case where the guy says, serve the Avodah Zarah is directly jeopardizing your life. Now, Chayvan normally would permit you to not allow your life to be forfeited. Avodah Zarah doesn't allow, it's fine, doesn't allow. But at the end of the day, I was forced by the guy to commit the sin. And we learn that from Moronaro, Lesasa, Dabo, says the Rambam. But you know, Rahman al-Patri, I was forced to do so. So if I did so, I shouldn't have done so, but in there I was forced to do so, I don't get punished. But in the case of the sickness, there we've established the whole time, says the next sin of that, you're being forced to commit the sin. What's that? The sin, the kima mitzvah is jeopardizing your life, the sickness is jeopardizing your life. You wouldn't be. You're not allowed to go and obey yourself, avoid Zohar, to heal yourself. And if you did, you cannot say afterwards, you see, because it was avoid Zohar was transgressing my life, and I saved my life and transgressed avoid Zohar. You saved your life and transgressed avoid Zohar. There wasn't a direct confrontation between avoid Zohar and your life. So if you did so, you chose to do so in order to save your life. Not only were you not permitted to make that choice, but you cannot, at the end of the day, claim that I was forced to service avoid Zohar, because no one's forcing you to service avoid Zohar. What was endangering your life was a sickness, and therefore there the Rambam says, in such instances, if you are over, you will get the punishment. So we've had, just to recap very briefly, and then I'll say one more thing, that we had three things. We had Rabbi Shmuel, who used the Chai Bohem for a case that if a guy forces you to be over one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, you may. And yet, when it came to Pugach Nefesh, Derech HaShabbos, he used a different pasuk. Why? And then we had the fact that the Rambam says, Ki'inish omu ba'nosim kach omu b'chaloim ba'ayid. But by a goy, he says, no, ba'nosim a goy can transgress, but b'chaloim, it seems from the omission of the Rambam, he cannot. And then we have this other, third example of a Rambam who says that by Avodah Zarah, if he wasn't nen asked to do it, that Amos forced him to do it, and he did it, he shouldn't have done it, he won't get punished. In the case of a Chayli, if he was very sick and he healed himself with Avodah Zarah, he shouldn't have done so, and if he does so, he'll get punished. So the Mechitzvah says, well, this is why all these three points can be resolved. It's because when an Avera is jeopardizing your life, that's more direct. And therefore here it's clear to Rabbi Shmuel, the Chayben can be used. A Goy, Svara also. And if you transgress in the case of Avodah Zarah, you're potter, because Avodah Zarah was directly jeopardizing your life. But in cases where the sickness is jeopardizing your life, so there, it's not so much a direct confrontation between Avera and your life. So there, Bishmol felt the Chayvam can't be used. And there, indeed, even according to Shmuel, that the Chayvam can be used, that's only by a Yid, but by a Goy, the Svara doesn't allow him to heal himself with any other Yishuv Torah. And in the case of Avodah Zarah, if he did, he'll get punished, all based on this skill. Now, I just want to conclude one point, which I hope can I clear. Somebody asked me a question as follows. What's the halacha if a Yid chooses to give up his life rather than eat chazal? Is he allowed to be machmir on himself? So it's a well-known machlok. The Rambam says he can't. The Rambam says he's machayv and nashay. If the guy says, eat the chazal or I'll kill you, and you say, you know what, kill me, I don't want to eat chazal, you're machayv and nashay. I mean, apart from, of course, you'll be losing your life. But you're machayv and nashay, you're nefesh, because you have no right to give up. You can't be machmir, you can't be holier than thou. But the Shulchan Aruch passes differently, and of course we know throughout the millennia, Yidna be Moshe Nefesh for Kutzah Shal Yud, for Shofar and for other mitzvahs, I say even. They chose to give up their lives. They were machmir on themselves. That's how Shulchan Aruch passed. I'm not going into that parameters. Maybe it's not so simple. But basically, Shulchan Aruch says, yes, if one wishes, one can be machmir on oneself. There are some who say only a God L'Ador can, but Shulchan Aruch says that a person can be machmir on himself and choose to give up his life. He's not machmir to, but he can choose to give up his life. Right. Now, what about if somebody is sick? He's sick, and he's told, you've got to eat on Yom Kippur. And he says, eat on Yom Kippur, I've never done this all my life, I've never eaten on Yom Kippur, I can't do it. I'll rather die than eat on Yom Kippur. Can he choose to do so? He's sick, I'm not allowed to. And the Yerushalmi says, clearly, if he does so, I raise a Shofar Domin. He's a Shofar Domin. So somebody asked me that this goes against the grain of my whole share. You agree? Because we're saying the whole time that if the Avera directly jeopardizes my life, there's more room to say, let your life take precedence. If there's a sickness, there's less room to say, you know, save yourself and trample the Torah. Yeah, when it comes to the ability to be machmir, it turns out that with a sickness, you can't be machmir. I was on the contrary. With a sickness, let me machmir. Because it's not like, it's a chiddush. We see Rabbi Shmuel didn't even use the chayvam for that. It's a chiddush. I can't avail myself of eating on Yom Kippur, but it's certainly a chiddush. If I want to be machmir, allow me to be machmir. Yeah, we say, no, there you can't be machmir. And if a goy forces you to be over an avera, if you wish, then you can be machmir. That seems to go against the svara hafucha to the svara that yourself established. So I'd like to just say in 2 minutes that I think it's a mistake, the question. And I think if one thinks deeply, it's actually here on the senes. Precisely because there is this difference. Again, that in the case of where an anos is forcing you to be over an avera, the avera is directly jeopardizing your life. That's what we said. There's no outer event, sickness, etc. That may jeopardize your life. So the fight, to use a pun, the fight for one's life, is between the Avera and my life. Right? In the case of sickness, it's different. The fight is between me and Nebuchadnezzar and the sickness. There is, of course, the Avera out there, which I can do, and which will save my life, but the fight is ultimately between me and the sickness. So Melech Shatazoy, you want to be Machmir. If the fight is between you and the Avera, the Torah says, you win. You win. But I don't. I want to be Machmir. I want the Torah to win. I'm a tzaddik. I want the Torah to win. You have a right to do so. You can choose to allow the Torah to push away your life. Our bidin, your life, can push away the Torah. But you have a right to be Machmir and allow the Torah to push away your life. But when you're being Machmir, what have you allowed? You've allowed the Torah to win. That's okay. The Chumra has a place. Because the fight between you and the Torah, you can push away the Torah, you allow the Torah to push away you. But on the contrary, in the case of a sickness, the way the Mincha Sinach has established this whole share, the fight was never between me and the Torah, the fight was between me and my sickness. Now, there was a chidush of a chayav by Eve that I can't avail myself and transgress the Torah will save my life. But the fight ultimately was not between the Torah and me, it was between me and the sickness. If I'm Machmir, and I don't eat Tzimikip and I die, who won? The sickness won! So what do you achieve by being Machmir? You can only be Machmir if as a result of your Chumrah, you've given the Torah supremacy over yourself. That's only if it was the Torah which was directly jeopardizing your life. But in the case of the sickness, the sickness jeopardizing your life, the earth is jeopardizing your life. Now you can say to yourself, you choose not to do so, you're an idiot. Because what you've allowed is the sickness to win you. That's not a Chumrah, that's idiocy. That's a reason it's Kaab Anashri. So on the contrary, not only I think is it not shver on the Minchas and the Chisoy from this halacha, but it's actually supported strongly with the Minchas kind of thesis. We can understand why in the case of Al-Muslim you can be a Machmir, in the case of Chalon you can't.